listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in. Week 14 of your National Football League season. For many of you in the fantasy football realm, this is it. This is your final week to make your playoff case. Something I did last week cost me dearly because my wide receivers didn't show up. And a decision at the tight end position that you and I talked about on these very airwaves came back to bite me. And it's still infected. Mike Harmon alongside Will Blackman here on Fox Sports Radio, Fox Football Sunday. I went with Kyle Rudolph, gave me my touchdown, gave me some good points.
But it bit you where?
Well, I had picked up our man Tyler Higbee from the Los Angeles Rams.
Illinois Higbee.
Nicely done. And he has a huge first half.
I love that one. I'm sorry.
But as we talked about it, you know, how do you trust Jared Goff? Well, I should have trusted that he'd do something against the Arizona Cardinals defense. That loss puts me on the edge. Nobody cares about my fantasy team.
No one cares about mine. I dropped four in a row.
Oof.
I am livid. After last year, I came in second in our league, in our neighborhood league, and I'm in a different league right now, and I'm four in a row.
That's a tough run.
Yeah, like everything looked great.
Yeah, the hard part is when you overthink it, right?
I'm not overthinking it.
Mine was paralysis.
I'm overthinking now. I got to the point where I put Baker starting this week versus Cincy. I like that one though.
I like that. Njoku returns.
However, OBJ has a hernia, so.
Well, he's making sure to let everybody know this is not peak Odell. I've been fighting through, and I've been dying
in Cleveland.
That's right. Well, there's been a lot of debt going on in Cleveland. There's no question about it. We'll get to that game as we roll through the slate, as you and I do each and every week. Congratulations on the big feature. And at NFL Wine Guy is where you can find Will.
Well.
Concierge service and giving you wine advice. We've certainly talked about it on the show a bunch. A nice big feature in the USA Today.
Yeah, that caught me off guard. I thought it was for a different... like a website, and it was USA Today, a big, massive article, like in the paper, me picking out bottles. It was pretty cool, and the phone's been off the hook, so that's fun. It's cool to, you know, it's something that, like, I've been passionate about and working hard, and it's cool to, like, people are, like, taking it serious now.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. So now the brand extension begins at NFL Wine Guys, where you can find it. We'll retweet out that article as well. You see Will during the week on The Herd across Fox Sports 1 and their platforms, and obviously here each and every Sunday. Pleased to chop it up for two hours every Sunday morning going through the games of the week. Before we get to the NFL, Will, we talk about college football last night. We're watching highlights here in the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Wisconsin gets out to the lead.
Goodness gracious, Wisconsin.
Ohio State comes back, wins comfortably still, 13-point victory, but LSU on cruise control, Clemson a 45-point win over Virginia, and then we had the overtime win for Oklahoma over Baylor. So that would set up our four. LSU's going to jump Ohio State, though, aren't they? Five top 10 wins in the AP?
They should, but yeah, AP should, but I saw Joe Klatt, our colleague, he loves Ohio State, so.
We shall see. It's an interesting.
He had Ohio State over LSU still.
I mean, they were number one, and they took care of business.
They took care of business, right.
And it didn't. We're supposed to believe that style points don't quite matter.
No, but
the same way.
But theirs did though, because they were down. Now, had the game came down to the wire, then yeah, I understand if they did struggle, but they came back the second half and just obliterated Wisconsin. So that was a style point.
Yeah, on Friday we talked about it. Dan Byer was in for Jason Smith. You work with Jason Friday morning, and it sounded like a cat got at his throat and took his vocal cords. So Dan and I were talking about it, going, maybe Ohio State just doesn't play anybody. Says, like you, I'm going in, right?
No, that was a valid point, yeah.
So, anyway, we'll have that announcement as well as all the other bowls so you can get your holiday destinations if you haven't picked one yet for your favorite college football team. Mine will not be going bowling, unfortunately. We move that back into the NFL. Bears over the Cowboys on Thursday night football, and then, well, it's time to start the games.
Lady, what did you
touch? Panthers and Falcons.
All right, we got two things outside the game before we get to the game itself. Number one, Ron Rivera let go earlier this week by the Panthers, saying, well, it was time, and some uneven play these last couple of weeks. Kyle Allen, the quarterback, that ties to part two, is the report from Ian Rappaport, now gaining some steam this morning, that the Panthers will look to trade Cam Newton. No real shock in that regard, right, where we look at his contract, it's fairly friendly, looking at only about $19 million and on the giant scope of NFL quarterbacks. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, that's middle of the pack at this point. Only a $2 million dead cap spot, as we've talked about. But if you're an NFL team, off the shoulder, off the Liz Frank injury.
Well, yeah, and he's supposed to have surgery as well, too,
right,
on this deal. So.
So what do you think appropriate value is for Cam Newton at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's worth a three or a four, around that range. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I feel like they're being open and honest because, once again, Tepper said he did the business side. Now he's going to jump into the football side and take over. So everything's for sale. Everything is always for sale in the NFL. He's just letting it be known, like, everything is for sale, if this is true.
Well, it's good. He's going all Ted DiBiase. Now we just need to get him a shiny coat.
Money. Then who's Virgil? That's what I want to know.
Well, yeah, have you seen the postings of sad Virgil selling his 8x10s in the
really?
Subway system and stuff?
Oh, that's not cool.
Oh, yeah, there was a blog that followed the tales of sad Virgil for a while. But the Panthers, right, to a man, from Cam Newton to Kyle Allen to McCaffrey to Greg Olsen, who will miss today's game with a concussion.
It looks like he's going to reset this whole thing, right?
It looks like it, right? Blow it up. You got McCaffrey. You got Allen. You drafted Will Greer this year.
Who knows if he likes Allen like that?
No, but that's it, right?
Right.
But you're just good enough to where you're kind of picking in that middle of the pack,
right,
kind of thing. But for today's game, with all of the players talking about their love for Ron Rivera, is this one they rally? Or is this a, well, you know, they took our guy. I mean, everybody's always auditioning for a job. We understand.
Well, that's
it.
What I mean. But I feel like the guys, that's why it's going to be a huge reset, because I'm sure there was a lot of decisions that they were going to make upstairs that had to do with a lot of Ron Rivera's guys. So Ron's out. Yes, everyone's going to express their love because he's beloved and he's a really, really cool coach in person. So there's going to be a lot of moves where it's going to, whoever the new guy's coming in, you look at Arizona, they got Kingsbury and he's like, okay, I want to get my guy. They just drafted a quarterback first round the year before in Josh Rosen. So
fed him to the wolves in a beleaguered offensive line, and now we're watching him.
At least Tepper is like upfront and honest with it. Like, that's the one thing that I can respect. But he's telling you,
this is how we're going to operate. It's a business.
Yeah.
We're going to break it down to spare parts and move from there. The Falcons do get Julio Jones and Hooper. Austin Hooper back for you fantasy owners. He was having a fantastic run before he got hurt, so he gets back in the mix.
But is Matt Ryan going to get a brick wall to protect him? Good gosh. I talked to Matt the other day, too, and I was like, man, I couldn't watch you get beat up. He was like, hey, man, we're just trying to get better.
So he still gave you quarterback speak?
He did.
This is your guy?
We had a conversation about Boston College. That's another topic, but
yeah, you and I can do that in a podcast form. I think there's some fun to be had.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Atlanta at home.
All right, Atlanta -3.5. I think I take them to, and they will cover the number. Let's get into the next game.
Lady, what are you talking?
Seahawks and Rams.
Yes. What you might be heading out to?
Slow down, sir. Okay, I might be there,
but that's it.
Just,
that's all.
That's
and I had an excited conversation just about the idea of the game itself.
Yeah.
Right? When we were talking about Russell Wilson, the Pete Carroll angle, talking about the travel, right? It's a fairly easy jaunt to come
in. And it's a primetime game, and Russell is a ticket that I would pay for. It's cool. I love these division games. I love Rams just by nature. It doesn't matter who's the coach. I feel like Rams and Seattle is always a close, tough game.
Always battle out well, and I know it's a fourth quarter kind of game. It's a 1-point line. Seattle favored slightly on the road. Over-under sitting at 47.5, so we're expecting some fireworks. You know, grab your popcorn. Carson, Rashad Penny giving us the 1-2 on the Seattle side.
That Seattle's always won it, you know.
It's that six-man offensive line that they've been using more frequently.
Exactly. And this is also the, you know, really interesting how now Diggs and Clowney are paying off after those trades, you know, the safety, Quadre Diggs and Jadeveon Clowney. So it's right now, Seattle is prime and ready. Can they protect Goff?
Well, there's your question. Still a shuffled offensive line.
Right.
Talking about a lot of backups.
They looked good last week.
It's always the we hang a star on the opponent, right? Arizona, right. Not exactly known for their robust defense, either in the front or certainly their secondary struggles immensely. Seattle has had their issues defensively in spots, but the pass rush has been better, as you mentioned, with Clowney the last couple of weeks.
They're winning, at the end of the day, they're winning games and they're figuring it out. It doesn't matter, you know, especially in crunch time when it matters. They are coming through.
Yeah, I thought the Diggs addition was quietly one of the better moves made as we got into the season.
Yeah.
Right, because Clowney got all the headlines.
Well, because Quadre Diggs, he was really good in Detroit, and they ended up paying him, but he was still wasn't, a prime player, like, put in position to be there. And so when he went to Seattle, they put him right there at free safety, basically doing exactly what Earl Thomas was doing. He's coming downhill, lighting dudes up, making plays, and it's another Texas defensive back. So,
well, when we look at Seattle offensively last week, you get the big win. Tyler Lockett still dealing with the leg injury. The only real target he had was near the goal line, a worm burner. Would have helped my fantasy team had he been able to come in with it. But then DK Metcalf, better overall, but some ball security issues. We saw that get ripped.
Yeah,
but
he is leading the all rookie receivers in yards, and so which is cool for him because, you know, the whole narrative with his horrible shuttle time and what have you,
right,
to come through there. I will say though, you know, he did. When you go to a team with a quarterback like that, you know, it's going to elevate your play regardless. There's a lot of receivers that are really good in college that end up vanishing in the NFL because they're not fortunate to have a good quarterback like that.
Well, sure. So. Right. I mean, we were talking about a few before we went on air. We had a number nine discussion as part of who are the best. You brought up Peter Warrick. Go back and check your Google machine, kids.
I'll find it. I actually tweeted it out, you know, a video. I said, kids, here's a history lesson. It was a Peter Warrick highlight. I did this earlier this year. I'll try to find it.
Very good.
Legit. I got Seattle.
Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, they finally get him moving a bit. Sean McVay with the self-effacing and kind of, you know, sarcastic. Well, I guess I'm no longer an idiot. My mom always had a saying when we were growing up, the save it for good kind of thing, right? We'd buy her a nice top or, you know, some kind of outfit, and then it would go to the back of the closet, and you'd say, Mom, are you ever going to wear the insert clothing X? Like, well, I'm saving it for good. Like, well, what's good? What do we need to be doing? Likewise with Todd Gurley, if he can run, why isn't he seeing the ball? Because eventually the clock expires, right? You're fighting for a playoff berth now, and it's every week is the we got to go 1-0 every week, not just because, well, we want to go 1-0. We have to go 1-0.
But it's not even so much. Yeah, I understand they give him the rock more, but I don't believe it's so much him. It's just overall, you know, people understand what the Rams are doing, and yes, they're not healthy, and guys are missing, mm-hmm. and all kinds of things like that.
It's week 14 in the NFL. That happens.
It does, yeah. So I can see tonight Sean McVay getting a little more creative because you're gonna have to, because if you do the same formation, same play action stuff, you can't do play action if you're not running the ball well. It's not gonna go well for the Rams tonight. So hopefully, you know, more creative. They're able to move the ball, run the ball, and it's going to be a close game just by nature.
All right, I'm still taking the Seahawks to come in and win that game on Sunday Night Football. All right, in lockstep on that. Coming up next, we've got a trio of games, some interesting storylines coming out of each of them as we get down the stretch, week 14 of the National Football League season. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. As always, take us with you, the iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, Channel 83, and over 300 affiliates nationwide. Evangelize, tell your friends and family. Hey, it's the holiday. Give the gift of us and football goodness. He's Will Blackman. I'm Mike Harmon. We're back with more of Week 14 next here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday, Week 14 of your National Football League season. Mike Harmon alongside Super Bowl champion, ex-NFL defensive back Will Blackman, hanging out with me at Will Blackman at NFL Wine Guy on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you find him. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Fantasy questions. We'll get some nuggets in for you over the course of these 2 hours, but I'll answer any of the sit-start questions after we get off air at Swollen Dome. Send them along. I'll give you my best analysis and dart throwing as we do each and every week. In the
dart throwing.
Well, because sometimes there's.
By the way,
yeah,
I'm not a fan of ex NFL player.
I'm sorry.
It sounds like the league. It sounds like the league broke up with me.
Okay.
I don't like ex.
Okay. No. All right. Sure.
I like 12-year NFL veteran. That just sounds like
it just flows.
It
better.
Sounds seasoned. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Ex. You could have played 2 days.
2 days. No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I did not mean to diminish your
lengthy career.
No, you know what I meant.
But this is why we can be honest.
I can tell you that.
On air. I can, you know, just, you know,
extemporaneous speaking. I didn't have the, you know, the note card.
Yeah, I went through a, you know, it's like a long marriage, and we're like, you know what, we're just gonna go our separate ways.
We had a good run.
No one hurt each other. It was a long, long time. I went through a lot too to be just an ex.
No, that's a fair point.
All right, sorry.
We have done the long, arduous journey of Will Blackman's NFL career. I've had the band in to play alongside.
I got to do a full dynamic warm-up just to get in the car, all this arthritis I have. Okay, I went through a lot. All right. Sorry.
That's a lengthy battle. We'll chronicle every step from his door to our door next week here on Fox Sports Radio. At Will Blackman, find me over at Swollen Dome, 12-year NFL veteran, my partner here on Sunday mornings. We're enjoying some football action here, and obviously more arguing about the college football playoffs will go on over the course of the day before those are unveiled and then debated ad nauseum for the next 3 weeks. But our business is the NFL. Let's get back into the games.
Lady, what are you talking?
Steelers and Cardinals.
All right. Duck Hodges getting it done. No Juju Smith-Schuster. No James Conner.
No problem.
No problem. They're on the road at the Cardinals, who can't stop anybody. For your fantasy purposes, you want to talk about fantasy points against. Just start them against this squad. Vance McDonald should be a factor here, given the ineptitude of the Cardinals to check opposing tight ends week in, week out. You see big numbers coming across the board. You've got Snell. You've got some of Jalen Samuels. And then James Washington has become his guy. Not only is he his hunting partner, but he's also become his best friend, working downfield, big play threat.
Wait, James has been going hunting with Duck?
Yeah.
No wonder Mason's frustrated.
Yeah, they've been putting pictures up of here's our haul
for the
day. No
wonder Mason got frustrated, huh? His receiver from college is hanging out with Duck, not him.
That's it. You want to talk about an ex? There you go.
That's an ex.
Nah, you got something nasty going on there. Yeah, so Duck Hodges, gosh. That's his guy. So
hey, man, you got to get it right.
Now, the Cardinals, Kyler Murray has been fantastic in spots. You've got Christian Kirk. You just don't have enough, right? This is year one of building the program, as it were. We talked about it a little bit earlier with Cliff Kingsbury and having the long-term plan, just like you do down in Miami, right? You hire a guy for 5 years knowing that you're going to have to churn through what they're going to do in Carolina. But Pittsburgh's still very much alive for a playoff berth.
7-5. Talk about, I mean, leader for coach of the year, right? Mike Tomlin?
Should be,
Got to be.
Right, forget about the 10 flashy 10 wins or whatever. I mean, that's great. You have good rosters. And not to say the Steelers don't have a good roster overall, but when you tell me you lose Roethlisberger, you got rid of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and that James Conner hasn't been available to you much of the season. Juju Smith-Schuster's been gone for, what, a month?
I mean, you can keep going.
Right? Just keep going on down the line. You had Pouncey suspended. You had some offensive line
Mike Tomlin is the Russell Wilson of coaches.
Like, this is, without a doubt, his best coaching job when we look at what he's been able to do with this squad.
But that's all you need, though. You just need a leader of men. You don't have to be this creative innovator with X's and O's. You just have to be able to get the best out of, I would say, the least talented guy.
See, I always liked doing my training camp tours. Like, I used to go around and visit for a couple of days. And Pittsburgh was always pretty good about, hey, just wander. And it's like, okay, cool. So I wandered down where the linemen and linebackers were working. I just remember Mike Tomlin wearing out a rookie and kind of going on fire. He looked at me and goes, that's not going to show up in print, right? I'm like, nah. But, like, that was kind of the bonding of, like, I'm gonna give you the tough love here because it's going to make you better. And then he would be... He was actually a head coach that went around to every one of the units, I guess, was the point I was trying to make. Because many other stops along the way, the head coach kind of stood in the middle of the field. Right? Yeah. And only when they were all assembled was it really something. He went unit to unit and evaluated and was talking to guys.
As he should. As he should. Yeah. And I played for a coach similar, you know, wasn't really on the headset for X's and O's during a game, but was a leader of men. That was with Coach Coughlin. You know, same thing. He went around to every group, talked to everybody. He actually also make sure our uniform was right, because if it wasn't, then he fined us.
Oh, yeah.
I think if we wore black socks in practice, it was like $400.
$400?
Yeah, for not wearing the correct color socks.
That's a couple of good bottles of wine
there. He was a beast, man. He was like, you know. Some socks? Come on, Tom.
That's taking it to the old Herman Edwards. Make sure you're clean in the corners.
Socks
kind
for $400.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Twice.
All right, Pittsburgh minus 1.5. I'm taking them on the road.
Yeah, no question about it.
All right, they finished the job. Next.
Lady, what are you talking?
Broncos at Texans.
Yes.
I'm excited for this game. Denver playing better defense. They get the gift win last week. As a 12-year NFL veteran defensive back, what'd you think of it's what we call a callback in the radio business.
You know, if I didn't like you, I thought you'd be being sarcastic.
No, I wasn't at all. I'm just saying you played against a lot of guys, obviously a lot of contact downfield. Did you look at that and say, how is that pass interference, son?
You know what? In 12 years, I saw this the other day, in 12 years, I only had 10 penalties called on me.
Now, that's a good ratio.
That's impressive, right? I played it. You know what, though?
Played it clean.
Here's what I did, though. I was always friendly to the refs before games.
Okay.
Like, how are they doing? How's everything, you know?
Checking in, yeah. Everybody's feeling good.
When we played the Bengals in London, I have a picture. I got to find it. A ref is actually holding our daughter, like, before the game.
How about that?
Yeah.
Really? now, that's next level.
Yeah, so... So
scandal in 2019.
No, but what happens though is that instead of like immediately throwing flags, I would get warnings. You know, they knew what type of player was. They're not wasn't a dirty player. So,
right.
However, two of my penalties were massive fines. I got fined $21,000 for a crackback.
Ooh,
tell me about it. It was actually right around this time of year. And I'm like, dude, I got Christmas presents to buy.
Holidays.
Everyone is getting coal.
I
am $21,000 under.
You went into the market, bought up a bunch of Will Blackman rookie cards, and sent those out saying, here's your gift. I signed these and I personalized them along the way.
I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Drew Lock played pretty well for that first or the early part of the game.
That was his thing, you know, a strong arm, you know. He was part of that. The group I train every year, we all, you know, a bunch of guys meet in Southern California, and, you know, Jordan Palmer has his group. I have my group of defensive backs, and I got to watch him play and throw the ball around. So I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game because you just don't know what the secondary for Texans and also – but you do know offensively what Deshaun Watts can do. I have, you know, the Texans winning, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, Sutton is, I think, a guy people on the national level need to learn to appreciate.
Yeah, when you let go of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, you move on from those guys because you're very, very comfortable with what you have.
Yeah, we've been banging the drum for him a couple of weeks in a row on the show. It's like, really, watch this kid play football. It is something. Against the Texans secondary, obviously, they've been banged up. Houston -9, laying a heavy number today. No Will Fuller. You wondered how quickly Will Fuller would be out of your lineup again when he flashed on the screen 2 weeks ago. Back out with a hamstring injury.
Is he really?
Yeah. So just as quickly as he arrived Off he goes once again. But Texans too much. Run the ball with Hyde and a little more of Duke Johnson in the passing game. Added DeAndre Hopkins, the recipes for success and a home victory. I do like Denver plus the points, though. Coming up next, we'll talk about, well, we referenced him a few minutes ago with the Pittsburgh exodus. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, in or out? We'll discuss that next as we talk Dolphins-Jets. He's Will Blackman. I'm Mike Harmon as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Great news, quick and easy way you could save money. You can switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com, see how much you could save. That game next. But first, it's Kevin Figures. He's got everything trending in our sporting universe. What's up, Kev?
All right, guys, we'll take a look at the college football scoreboard from a Saturday night. Ohio State was down two scores early in the Big Ten championship game, but they turned it on in the second half, ultimately coming away with a 34-21 victory over Wisconsin, clinching a spot in the college football playoff. Justin Fields had three touchdown passes in the victory. Joe Burrow had four touchdown passes for LSU. They won the SEC title in a 37-10 win over Georgia. Baylor rallied to send the Big 12 title game into overtime, but Oklahoma would come away with a 30-23 victory. Trevor Lawrence, four touchdowns against Virginia as Clemson won the ACC championship. The four playoff selections, as well as the rest of the New Year's Six Bowl schedule, will be revealed today around noon Eastern. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. NFL Network reporter Ian Rappaport reporting that Browns receiver Odell Beckham Jr. will have surgery in the offseason for a sports hernia injury he has been apparently dealing with all season long. He is expected to play today against the Bengals. Meanwhile, Raiders running back Josh Jacobs, a game-time decision with a shoulder injury. Vikings receiver Adam Thielen out with a hamstring injury. Texans receiver Will Fuller not expected to play as he deals with a hamstring injury as well. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin, voice here on AM 570 LA Sports, Los Angeles, keeping it down for us today in hanging out and keeping apprised of all the injury updates because they're starting to flow here on a Sunday morning. We'll have more of those as the show progresses, but we'll get back into the games.
Lady, what is that?
Dolphins and Jets.
Ryan Fitzpatrick revenge game. All right, maybe overselling that a little bit.
It's in New York, yeah.
Jets minus -5. They're laying -5. Sam Darnold playing better of late. Le'Veon Bell is out.
Well, he didn't play well last
for
week.
For this one. It's just set of late. I mean, it's, you know, kind of a nebulous term for the month, or I don't know. We go into quarters of seasons. Yeah, he's Ryan Griffin, big tight end, has been sick all week. He's expected to go. So
sick of counting that money.
Yeah, he got paid. And Le'Veon Bell is out. So more Bilal Powell and Ty Montgomery for y'all. And Montgomery, interesting if you're in a PPR league, that maybe he takes up a little bit of a bigger role. Miami took Philly's chance to take control of the NFC East.
What is the NFC? We'll talk about that. But
yeah, that's a thing. We'll get into that maybe in about 25 minutes from now. But that grand opportunity after the Dallas Thanksgiving Day loss. All right, here's Miami. And what do? You give up 37 points.
Yeah.
And then you're chasing Ryan Fitzpatrick, whom we, as we talk about the programs being set, Brian Flores, these guys are playing hard, and they did all year, and now they're actually getting results.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker being a beast downfield.
Oh, 100%. He took off on these guys last week, just making unbelievable catches. That's the type of player they expected him to be. So it's really cool to see that, what he's doing. And yeah, with this Miami team, they're just learning how to win. Yeah, I was like, okay, they understand they made some moves. They're struggling for the most part of the season, but it's like, hey, let's learn. Let's figure out how to, let's compete. Everyone's auditioning, essentially, you know, with the new head coach. We're auditioning to be the next year. So it's cool that these guys are buying in and learning how to compete and win football games. I mean, you can tell the team is trying to win when you pulling out all kinds of trick plays like the one they did on the goal line.
That was fantastic.
That was actually very good.
That was nifty.
That was very, very good, I will say. After playing football for so damn long, I'd never seen that before.
Always see another wrinkle, right? Watch long. Every week we'll see something that you never have, including Chargers' interesting ways to lose games, as we mentioned, the Denver win from last week. Jamal Adams also has not practiced all week with an ankle. Don't expect him to be out there. I'm looking at the Dolphins.
Him to be out there.
No, I don't.
You sound so serious.
Well, I mean, he matters.
Flores going back to his area in the tri-state. Homecoming for him.
I like Miami winning this game outright.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think the other thing, just pointing out injury reports in Week 14, they listed nobody on their final injury report.
That good Miami sun, man.
How about that? But living right. They found the fountain of youth. Everybody's been looking around in Florida. All right, next game.
Titans and Raiders.
Another team that had a prime opportunity to grasp onto a playoff berth. And, well, the Oakland Raiders became the Oakland Raiders again these last couple of weeks. We talk about the Jets and the beatdown they experienced there. Now you've got star rookie running back Josh Jacobs. He's got a fractured shoulder. Still gutting out. Renfro.
That does not feel good.
No, I can't imagine that's doing too much for you. I mean, running back, especially with the amount that he works between the tackles, right? He's not just an edge guy. So taking a beating in between the big boys. So it's a...
If you like numbers, the Raiders are 5-1 at home. Tennessee's 3-3 on the road. I personally don't care about numbers.
Okay.
I just feel right now Tennessee is trending up and Oakland is trending down.
I think that's a nice way to talk about the Ryan Tannehill guy just playing.
He's just
going out and playing football.
Honestly, that's it.
Right?
Though. That's it. Everyone's
want to overanalyze it. Like, he's just a guy playing football.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we shouldn't overanalyze it because everyone's saying, oh, he's definitely playing for this and doing that. I'm like, yeah, he's playing, once again, with no pressure. It's always easy to come in a game when the guy ahead of you is not doing well. So there's not much expectation. It's not like he was a Dwayne Haskins coming in, where everyone said he's not ready, and pressure's put on him, the way he looks, you're scrutinizing everything. We've seen what Tannehill did in Miami, and now he's in the situation where we knew he was signed to be a backup and come in here and try to do something, and is playing extremely well. I mean, a big part of this thing, though, is with any offense, is when the run game is succeeding, it is tremendous. It's unreal for somebody like Derrick Henry, how massive he is as a running back to hitting home runs like that.
Yeah, once he gets to that second level and nobody's wanting to come over and they can't get a clean shot on him,
but
right?
That's what it is, though. I remember when we were out here working out, Saquon was out here, and we were talking, Saquon Barkley, and I was like, you're going to find out very soon that a lot of these players, these defensive backs, do not want to tackle you. And when you find that out, it's going to be open all day. These guys don't want to hit people. They want to be healthy and make money. They don't want to feel that pain. They don't want fractured shoulders.
Try to figure out how you can get you to the sideline, use that as a defender, and maybe enough of a shove to get you off balance instead of the full-on hit. Tannehill, multiple touchdown passes, 5 of his last 6 games. And just to punctuate his play at this point, he knows he's a backup for the next 5 years at worst.
At worst.
Right? He's got a job.
He will have a job. He will always have a job.
So I think when you go out here, it's like, all right, now it's just a question of what's my rate of pay as the backup and emergency fill-in for insert quarterback X.
Yeah, he will definitely have a job. I can see a situation. I don't know. He might stay there. Maybe he goes to, I don't know. He will have a job.
All right, 47.5 is the over under. Tennessee favored by a field goal. Oakland may have the gaudy home record, but as you said, trending downward. Some issues with Derek Carr. He's got no wide receivers to throw to. Like, they've got, and even Waller's been slowed down after a hot start.
Right,
so offensively,
and Renfro's out too.
Yeah, he's done. And Jacobs with the bad shoulder.
Yeah,
just everything going against them. Even with a good offensive line, you can only do so much.
Yeah, Derrick Henry had 3 straight games over 150 yards about. I think he continues to do that. I got Tennessee.
There you go. Tennessee on the road. We're picking a lot of road teams today. How about that? Week 14 of your National Football League as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. You can go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up next, another team that struggling as we get on the stretch, and one that still remains a curiosity into week 14 of this season because they've got a quarterback decision to make as well. Will Blackman with me. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. More of your week 14 slate next here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio. This is Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Will Blackman with you. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Fox Sports Radio, giving us part of your Sunday. To from services, maybe decorating a tree, whatever you might be doing. Maybe just having a nice cup of coffee and relaxing ahead of a big day. We appreciate you for hanging out. At Will Blackman on Twitter, at NFL Wine Guy. Again, we'll link up the article from the USA Today that was out on Will and his new venture. As we go through the show this morning, having some fun talking a little bit about that, but talking an awful lot about Week 14 in the National Football League. And two teams at Week 14 facing some very large questions.
Lady, what is that?
Colts and Buccaneers.
All right, for the Colts, Marlon Mack still out. You've got Williams, the presumptive leader, but more Nyheim Hines last week. So a wrinkle in these fantasy plans for you. T.Y. Hilton missing once again. And Jacoby Brissett, a guy they gave a couple-year deal to at the start of the season, right? Comes in, plays well the last 6 weeks or thereabouts. We're talking about a team that can't get past the 20-point hurdle in terms of their offensive production. Congratulations to Jack Doyle on his contract extension as well. You got a little bit of unrest in the locker room over Eric Ebron's injury.
Yeah,
and going to the IR, some terse,
lots of major injuries here. You know, lots of this has been a season of adversity for this team as a whole. So, man, it's going to be interesting. Especially going to be tough to go down there in Tampa. You know, you got a lot of injuries. I don't know how they're going to handle this passing game. Hopefully, you know, give up three TDs and get three picks. Is that's been the going
well,
rate,
I mean,
right?
that could actually be the stat line for Jameis Winston that we know week in, week out. You've got two of the best wide receivers going in the game in Godwin and Mike Evans. Trying to match up with them is a nightmare, but the big thing is ball placement and decision-making from Jameis Winston. Certainly did not get the vote of confidence when asked about his future. Bruce Arians says, well, we see some very, very, very good things, and we see some very, very, very bad things.
Right.
Not that that gives you much clarity on things, because you certainly, in the games where it goes well for Jameis, like, all right, that's a top 10 arm. That's a top 10.
Yeah, but that's a bottom 10 sometimes decision-making.
Right.
You know, they're fourth in most points per game, you know, 28, but also he's leading in giveaways with 25.
Right, so 22
that's
interceptions,
the story.
20 touchdowns, and yeah, some big numbers. However, Ronald Jones, they had to bench last week because of a missed blitz pickup, which has been the story of his career to this point.
However, if they score 28 and Colts cannot get over 17 points...
Well, that's it. Without a defensive score, right? They have to have a defensive score to be in this game.
Yeah.
And you're looking at signing a kicker off the street. Look, Adam Vinatieri has been terrible.
Yeah.
I love guys that have been around that have had the big moments. There's just a point where
there's a time. It's ran its course, man. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just it. Father time comes for everybody, and for Adam Vinatieri, there's been some really difficult moments. He made a couple of big kicks, but also just a number of misses. So
bad misses,
right.
Not just any like, oh, it just
right.
A little bit
ball.
Outside. Exactly.
Yeah,
like
no.
he threw it backwards.
No, exactly.
Like he threw a bouquet in the stands. That's basically what it looked like, how he's
like
been kicking
that.
The ball.
That's good.
You can use it.
Well, I think we might be able to get a GIF made of that pretty fast. We can get someone to animate an Adam Vinatieri in that respect. Chase McLaughlin, he is everybody's week-to-week kicker. He comes in. Tampa Bay only giving three because of the fear of Jameis Winston. It comes down to.
You just don't know.
Because everything else just says the Buccaneers should roll them, given all the givens right now.
The good thing is the Colts will play very hard, but I believe Tampa still comes through with the win.
There you go. Tampa gets it done. Let's get one more in.
Lady, what is that?
49ers and Saints.
All right, we'll get this one started here. May have some finishing up to do in hour two as we roll through the show. But for the Saints, missing two linebackers, you get the return of Matt Breida for the San Francisco 49ers. Raheem Mostert has been a guy off on the radar and occasionally pops up last week in a big way. Comes in, Tevin Coleman expected to be the bell cow. Oh, not so fast. A big game there. Jimmy G making plays happen. More Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle. Again, whatever he's playing with, he's getting it done. For the Saints, it's all about Michael Thomas. I mean, he's the headliner.
Yeah, he is the headliner, and definitely not talked about enough in this MVP conversation. The one thing that stands out to me in this game is obviously you know that the Niners' style is we want to run the football. And it has been successful as an offense, averaging almost 30 points a game. However, the Saints have not allowed a 100-yard rusher in 34 straight games.
Think about that.
Think about that.
I mean, I know we have gone away from the bell cow, so there's going to be some games where you parse together some pretty good running efforts. But, yeah, it's the collision course, and we know that Saints defensive front, once they get rolling, certainly can have their way with the opposing quarterback. For this one, we're looking at the Saints, a narrow 2-point favorite at home.
Yeah, well, hopefully Alvin Kamara can score a touchdown.
There you go.
And
he's putting that out into the world.
And the Niners are not allowing a guy to throw over 200 yards yet for a while.
We got another road dog coming up with a win.
Let's
here.
Let's go, Niners.
There we go. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. Coming up next. Yeah, that's right. How do you fix Tom Brady and the Patriots?
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome in. Hour two, Fast and Furious, going through the games of Week 14 of this National Football League slate. 15 more games remain as we try to set up the playoff picture, see if we get some clarification. And for you fantasy owners, well, last-ditch efforts to either get yourself into the playoffs, increase your seeding, or just play spoiler and be able to screw with your friends and family. Whatever the case may be, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to hang out with us. Mike Harmon alongside NFL veteran, 12 years in the league, Will Blackman. No, because earlier in the show, I forgot how many years. And it's one of
you
those.
Didn't forget. You didn't forget. You just, you know, you may not have. You would probably maybe rushing to get to the topic. You were so excited.
I think that's it.
You just said X instead of 12 years. I understand.
I just wanted to make sure. I put respect.
The respect is there.
On it there.
I told
Will,
you, respect
all,
is there.
You know that. So at Will Blackman, at NFL Wine Guy as well, is where you can find Will. That's a budding enterprise. We celebrate all our wins here on Fox Football Sunday and what we're trying to build going forward, and certainly in the gift-giving mode that we are. You know, folks like a nice bottle of wine. So check out his information there as well. We got a little bit of flowing information also in the National Football League. A little bit earlier, we talked about the Titans and the surge of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. They're on the road today at Oakland, but Diana Rossini of ESPN tweeting out just a few minutes ago, the Titans are internally discussing a new contract for Ryan Tannehill after the season, per a source. Not a franchise tag, but a new deal to be the future starting quarterback of Tennessee. Now, this is a big push, because as we talked about, he's a guy that you solidify that wherever he's going to have a ball cap and a clipboard for a while, right? We can.
Oh well, we don't know that now.
Well, but now, I mean, but that was the low bar. But multi touchdowns, 5 of the last 6 games. We've seen this Titans offense really start to come together. Those young receivers making some plays. I mean, they've done it without Delanie Walker, who I would, coming into the year with Marcus Mariota under center, you would have thought if they're going to have success, it's Derrick Henry, and it's going to be an 80 to 100 catch year for Delanie Walker. He's not been available to them. Jonnu Smith has popped up on the radar a couple of times, but getting it done with the wide receivers, that young receiving core downfield. So when we look at Ryan Tannehill, now potentially a long-term deal to be the starter. We watched him in Miami, and it didn't work. There would be a game now and again where, all right, that's it. He's making progress. He's making strides. And you'd look to his history and go, well, he's converted wide receiver. Whatever you were trying to look for in the past to say, all right, here's the path to becoming a future starter and a guy who can be a 10-year starter. The last 6 weeks, he's played really well. But as you and I have discussed during this period, you're playing with house money. Is that your guy going out with nothing to lose because the season had already been lost? Your number two overall pick had to be benched.
Right.
That's how lost the season was. So how much pressure was there on you, really? And would you then give him the giant novelty check based on what you've seen?
I think you have to take that in consideration. You're pretty much evaluating everybody in terms of free agents. You have a guy, you know, pro player personnel. His job is to evaluate the pro free agents. And you also have a college player personnel. He's evaluating all the college talent that's going to be coming to the NFL. And so you rate, you decide, you look at everything, and you feel like who is the best, you know, possible free agent quarterback. He's probably very high on the list. You have direct evaluation. He is running your offense and running your team, and you are having success. Now, I'm not saying you go out there and you give him that a massive deal that Dak is looking for. You know, he's 31 years old. You give him something sufficient. Maybe a, you know, 2 or 3 year deal, something. But maybe something you did for Jacoby, you know, and say like he's our guy right now.
Do one of those contracts kind of like Garoppolo's was structured, where there's a lot of get outs.
Exactly. Protect yourself. A lot of get outs, absolutely. I think you still, you know, you still go get a quarterback, maybe, you know, second or third round. Somebody should be available there for you. But yeah, I mean, right now he's proven to be what you need. Something you haven't had in a while, where it's been consistent. The running game has been outstanding, and he's been playing very, very well. Not turning the ball over much. I think after his first start, where they were blanked, he came through for them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we look at just the receiving core that they're going to battle with right now. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries. Through this point in the season, if you told me Adam Humphries was going to be your leading receiver in terms of receptions, I mean,
you
that's
say
a
no?
Bad. That's a, well, I mean,
they went and got him.
Well, he, in theory, should have been the guy for Marcus Mariota, based on that, right?
Yeah.
As the slot
guy
kind of thing.
Well, I would have some
coming out of Tampa, I would have thought, you know, if he was going to pop, it would have been as the safety valve for Mariota, and he was little used early in the season. Now we're getting the wide receivers in the mix. You got A.J. Brown is your leader in terms of yardage, sitting at 626. But it all runs through Derrick Henry. So make sure you pay your offensive line. Get five big guys and a cohesive unit there, and then everything can kind of flow, right? I mean, Tennessee's showing us that sometimes you don't have to change what always worked in the National Football League.
No, I agree. And it, the cool thing is that, okay, teams know coming in we have to stop Derrick Henry. And if we try our best to do that, you know, Ken Tannehill, you always want to try to make the quarterback beat you. And he's doing his job, so... I can't say I disagree with this decision if they decide to, you know, extend him and maybe continue building out the rest of the team.
Well, because as you were talking about, you know, evaluating the would-be free agent quarterbacks, I mean, generally guys don't get to free agency. This year is going to be a little different because we're going to have Mariota, who they've decided they don't want. You've got Jameis Winston potentially because the Buccaneers haven't decided.
That's
just talked
happening.
About that. Does he get a franchise tag for
that's
a year?
I think they tag him in Tampa. I would.
Give him one more year.
Give him one more offseason with coach to get it right.
See if you get it right. Because you still have all those weapons to work with and to try to figure out.
Because you're getting great production. You just may have a lot of turnovers. But you're getting, your two receivers are in the top five, basically.
Right. Yeah, just have to figure out where you can cut down the turnovers. Because some of them... You know, we'll talk about tip balls and would-bes.
But still,
he's got a lot of just bad decisions.
Right, exactly. Yep.
All right, let's get back into the games. This one, I think everybody's taking a look at.
Lady, what do you think?
Chiefs and Patriots.
All right, we know the Patriots. Tom Brady's on the injury report. Part of it, wounded pride because he had to wear Buckeyes gear after the Michigan
wounded
loss.
Pride.
Well, we saw that, right? I mean, that was one of the big Instagram and social media posts out of the locker room. But we've got an offense that can't get out of its own way here. But the Chiefs, defensively, we see them in spurts over the last, say, 5-6 weeks where the defense rises up and then immediately recedes. Some of that, Patrick Mahomes came back in and it was almost like the starting pitcher. All right, our ace is on the mound. He'll take care of it. So it didn't seem like they were that same level of production, pressure. But this is not a New England Patriots offensive line like we've seen in the past either, right? Normally, by this point in the year, we have all the gaudy numbers, and you'll see them everywhere in little insets on television of what they do in December. This is a different animal. Like, no matter what kind of guru you have on the offensive line in terms of coaching them up, it's a different group of guys, and they haven't been able to establish the run game.
Yeah, they haven't been able to establish the run game as they would love to. But also, they don't have that one ace, that one go-to guy where it's like, okay, we have to truly account for this guy. Yeah, they have Julian Edelman. They know, you know, what Julian can do,
right,
his certain areas where he likes to catch the ball, certain routes he likes to run, you know, and he's very productive, but he's not really going to run away from a lot of guys where they don't have that one person that can truly stretch out, stretch the field. Or that one person like a Gronkowski who can just catch any football over the middle and guarantee you a first down. They don't have that guy right now. So I think that's a big part of what's going on. You know, just overall, there isn't anything or anyone that is scary.
Well, it's the one veteran constant has been Edelman. They brought in Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, who I thought was going to pay huge dividends, you know, based on what I have seen. But I know earlier he hasn't been healthy already, so... Hopefully something shows. I know basically when you see a team like Baltimore do what they did and other teams are getting more comfortable and confident, like, okay, we've seen this, so now we can do this. What stood out last week to me against the Texans is how long Tom was holding the football. It's like, yeah, he was getting some good timing protection, but he's known for getting the football out quick. And in this case, guys, nobody was open.
Is that part of it also just looking at young guys working into the mix, like a Jacoby Myers, like an N'Keal Harry, who hasn't been on the field a bunch?
Well, that's the big thing. I think N'Keal Harry trying to figure out. I think Jacoby Myers has been outstanding for them in terms of, I think he's, outside of Julian, he's the most mature receiver, you know. Caught a ton of footballs at, I think, NC State, I believe he went to.
I believe that's right, yeah.
And so I think that's where the evaluation came in. He's seen a lot of footballs thrown. So it's interesting. Jason Smith, our colleague, said this is going to be a blowout. Via Kansas City.
See, he's also a Jets fan, so always take any prediction against the Patriots with a grain of salt.
I disagreed. I think it's going to be a close game. Mahomes... not so hot on the road, I guess, earlier.
Well, and they can't run the football. You and I were talking a little bit before the show, LeSean McCoy just
Everybody's
waiting.
Hurt, right? All the running backs
They're
are
all
hurt.
Banged up, right? You know, Damian Williams still is out with the rib injury, so you have that going. Kansas City.
But I think the receivers are going to run all over the place.
That's the question,
that's
right? How do you slow them down,
and
right?
It's going to be on turf. The track meet is what scares me. I got Kansas City.
You're taking Kansas City on the road.
Yeah.
I'll take New England to win a narrow one. Nick Folk returns. I don't know how much that means, but the revolving
then
door.
Then we hit the panic button.
Well, you know what? Because that's a whole other thing, Will, is lost in that is the steady reliability of what Gaskowski offered them all these years. Right, is that you can just move the ball just enough, and
yeah,
you had a guy you could trust. All right, we're getting our three, and revolving door.
I think they booked Kai Forbath's flight right after he missed that kick.
Oh, yeah, no,
yeah.
He was – I think his bag was packed when he got into the locker room.
They flew back private. He flew commercial back to wherever he was.
Yeah, tough run for him. All right, one more.
Lady, what did you say?
Giants and Eagles.
There we go. There we go. All right, so the Giants, Eli Manning.
Hey, you are
I was
excited.
Singing some Three Dog Night, Eli's Coming. Showed my age perhaps a little bit. A little pop culture references.
How old are you?
For you. I'm in my mid-40s now.
You can't say the number. Are you a woman?
I'm 46.
What is this? Yeah, that's,
but
be,
I sound
be proud
young.
Of 46.
Oh, no, I've earned every one
I'm
of those days.
I'm in my mid-40s. What is this? I know we're in L.A. and everyone wants to, like, hide in disguise and pretend.
Oh, there's no hiding. I mean, it's...
They want to lie about their age and eat avocado toast. I get it.
Yeah, you have not seen me order avocado toast.
Yet.
That's for sure. If you're having avocado toast, I love you just the same. It's not my cup of tea. But for the Giants, talk a little bit about Saquon Barkley. I liked last week how he stood up to reporters going, yeah, I'm banged up, so is everybody else. I'm still playing, so judge me based on what I'm putting up. No Evan Engram in this Monday night tilt. The Eagles, still a 9-point favorite, which is just asinine to me. the way that offense is performed. I know the Giants are
I feel like that should be
it.
A swear.
What's that?
The word you just said.
Oh, asinine?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can make that one of the seven dirty words plus owing tribute
dump that,
to
guys.
George
dump
Carlin.
Dump that one out.
But yeah, for the Giants, do they get a little spark with Eli?
Do they get a?
I don't know. I mean, do they rally around the fact that
he's
back? But
that's the beauty. It's the unknown,
right? Because the Eagles are no good defensively. Like that, we know.
Eli is what 1-9 versus the Eagles the past 10 matchups.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not saying history's on his side by any stretch.
We don't know.
This is one game where, definitively, I can talk about all these other games. I just have no idea what I'm going to get out of the Giants.
I think we get angry Eli. We get angry Eli.
I don't think I've ever seen anything more than furrowed brow Eli.
Return of the prodigal son. Eli comes through.
How about Eli with a big win on Monday Night Football?
How about
as
Eli
all the
with
montages kept going? That because I mean, look, I like chaos in between the white lines. Let's face it, the NFC East keeps giving them. Because I'd love to see Monday morning
the NFC least
right Monday morning Jerry Jones is really what I'm looking forward to if the Eagles lose that game. Look, we're still alive.
They are though,
right? I mean, look,
they're 4-0 in the East.
It's amazing. Nobody wants to win.
What was it? Seattle? They got in 2010 at 7-9, right?
Yep. And then you go back to when Brady was hurt in 2008. They went 11-5 and didn't get in.
Yeah. So I remember when I was in Seattle, Pete Carroll had he has on the board win the NFC West. That's it.
Nice and simple, right?
Just
go take care of your business.
Because that's the automatic bid.
Yep.
Right?
That's it. As we battle in the final month, welcome to December football. He's Will Blackman, 12 years in the NFL, at NFL Wine Guy, at Will Blackman on Twitter. You find me over at Swollen Dome. Fantasy advice coming up about 45 minutes from now. Some more nuggets to weave in throughout the show. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com and get yourself a free rate quote. Think the injury reports don't matter? Well, one city, they're writing big checks over something they did a few weeks ago. We'll talk about it next here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Will Blackman hanging out with you, setting up week 14 of your National Football League season. One game in the books, Bears 31-24 winners over Dallas, sending Jerry Jones into more tirades on radio, admonishing local Dallas radio hosts about their tone when they asked if he was
just a little bit.
Yeah, when they asked him if he was embarrassed. He got all salty. I would be embarrassed.
He is embarrassed.
He should. But they called him on it. Everybody's embarrassed for what that team was coming into the season. The expectations being high. Dak and the next contract. Zeke, you got him in. I mean, look, they've been healthy too. Not to make it all about the Cowboys. But give it, it's 2 minutes. Other than Van Der Esch, they really haven't missed a lot of principles over the course of the season.
But that's my point when we talk about coaches, you know, you have someone like Tomlin where everything does not have to be perfect. And right now, you look at Cowboys, they have pretty much a franchise guy, and especially on offense in every position.
Yeah.
Just going
down the line.
Yeah, and just for some reason, like that was a bad loss in Chicago. I mean, like you were excited about it, I'm sure, but...
Well, you know what it was most exciting to me, Will, and we've been doing the show here the last couple months, and every week it was, when are the Bears going to let Mitch Trubisky be Mitch Trubisky? When are they going to call an offense that puts his legs in motion, that moves the pocket?
That's what happened last year.
Right? That's what they did. So why the hell would you change that? I mean, I get it. You don't have the same receivers, but your offensive line's also beleaguered. You lost Kyle Long already for the year long ago. You've had guys kind of shuffling in and out.
Well, I know the shoulder injury, too, kind of scared everybody. So as probably right when they were probably going to make that decision and get into it, he hurt his shoulder pretty bad. So
maybe that was enough to peel it back. But even before that point, like, and then all of a sudden here you have the parting of the Red Sea on a couple of plays, some big long runs, but getting open. And Allen Robinson showing how good Allen Robinson
he is. He's legit, yeah.
Right? Legit one, Anthony Miller.
Same thing. They got weapons everywhere, too. That was what the frustrating part was. When they lost in the beginning of the year, I was like, okay, everyone don't panic. Like, they'll be fine.
Well, but they expected Trey Burton to be a 60-70 catch tight end. He got hurt and was ineffective. Shaheen was a number
two. Really? 60 to 70 receptions?
They paid him like he was going to be one of those pass-catching guys.
Yeah, but they also brought in like a bunch of other guys, too.
Well, they had drafted Shaheen a couple of years ago. He was a second-round pick.
Tariq Cohen should be 60 to 70.
Absolutely, like, he should.
The way, I still don't understand why he's not as featured as much as he should be, but we'll get to the Bears.
Bears when we have to next week. They've got the Packers for Week 15. We'll get to the Packers and their game a little bit later. But first, you have the next game on the slate, and, well, this one is kind of fun.
The lady! What is that?
Lions and Vikings.
Bunch of fines going out to the Detroit Lions for failure to disclose exactly how hurt Matthew Stafford was. Remember the we call them weasel words at times here on Fox Sports Radio with the way Matt Patricia had described the back injury of Matthew Stafford instead of ruling him out. So they got the notice of here's a 75 from you and some money from you. But again, the Detroit Lions coming in rolling with backup quarterbacks and trying to find healthy bodies at this point. As you roll through for the Vikings, heavy favorites in this one. We're talking a full 13. No Thielen. You had Dalvin Cook banged up a little bit last week. Supposed to be available, but hang a star on it if you were able to pick up Alexander Mattison. I will not do my Alexander Hamilton song, that one we did the other night. And, you know, the throat isn't ready to sing just yet. And Stephon Diggs got rolled up a little bit, but he came back in and he was fine. Now, is this one where you just try to get that early press from Kirk so you can set it on cruise control and just try to get out of there healthy?
Yeah, this is I don't know though. It's still division wins.
Division so game.
You just
sure.
never know. But yeah, I think I don't know. I can't say this because this could be that loss to Seattle was tough.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And you don't know the health right now of Cook. Just don't know.
Yeah, for the first 9-10 weeks of the season, we could make the argument of MVP, and I love those discussions. We had them weekly, I think, more this year than we ever have.
Right.
And we talked briefly about Michael Thomas, a guy that if he gets to 150 or he breaks Marvin Harrison's numbers, we're talking about between Breeze and Teddy Bridgewater as your QBs with no discernible true number two wide receiver. At all, right? Jared Cook pops on, he pops off, and then you don't. Traquan Smith hasn't been healthy. Ted Ginn Jr. go on through that. But when we look at just overall production, that you have that argument for him. But for the Detroit Lions, you've got two great bookend wide receivers. That's what you can hang your hat on when we go through. But yeah. Is that enough?
Don't know. Gosh.
Vikings win the game.
They do, but not by much.
You're going to keep it close?
Yeah.
I kind of dig that. All right. So he'll take the Lions plus the 13. We've got four more games to get through before our time here is done on Fox Sports Radio this morning as we hand things over to the Fox NFL kickoff. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. Coming up next, the resurgent Cincinnati Bengals. They get a big weapon back for you fantasy owners. They're on the road at Cleveland. The dysfunction, well, and Odell Beckham Jr. Doing Odell Beckham Jr. things now. We'll get into that in a moment as Fox Football Sunday continues. But first, we visit with our buddy Kevin Figures, who's going to update us on what's trending.
All right, Mike, you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. Some news on his front coming out this morning. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network says he will have surgery in the offseason for his sports hernia injury. He has apparently been hampering him all season long. However, Beckham did talk to ESPN's Josina Anderson. He told her that a decision on surgery has not yet been made. Regardless, he is expected to play today against Cincinnati. Other injury news, Raiders running back Josh Jacobs is a game-time decision as he's playing on a fractured shoulder. Vikings receiver Adam Thielen out with a hamstring injury. That's a different level of tough.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Fractured shoulder. That's amazing. Hey, I tweeted out a photo this week with his arm in a sling. He's actually wearing a sling during the week and actually able to carry the ball during a game. That's crazy.
Shoot him up.
I guess so. Will Fuller for the Texans is not expected to play as he deals with a hamstring injury, as well as Adam Thielen for the Vikings out with a hamstring injury. And news on the coaching front from Jason Lockenfor of CBS says the Panthers and Redskins likely to pursue Stanford coach David Shaw for their vacant head coaching positions. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. The selection of the four teams for the college football playoff set to be announced around noon Eastern today. Pretty much have three locks at this point, at least we believe. Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU all winning their conference title games fairly convincingly. Ohio State had a bit of a rough go in the first half, but pulled away from Wisconsin in the second half. The only other question now is the fourth team, and likely going to be Oklahoma, who outlasted Baylor in overtime with a 30-23 victory. And news on the coaching front from college football, Mike Norvell, fresh off of leading Memphis to the AAC title win, I should say, over Cincinnati. Now officially the head coach of Florida State, the Seminoles' official Twitter account, tweeting out the news just moments ago. Guys, back to you.
Appreciate that, Kevin. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at KFIG1, KFIG1. Works with us here on Fox Sports Radio and at our flagship AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks also to the rest of our team, Chris Perfett, Vince Close, making a sound oh so pretty this morning as we come to you. I'm Mike Harmon alongside Will Blackman, Fox Football Sunday, rolling with you. We'll get back into the games momentarily. One of the notes that Kevin had there, David Shaw on the radar, a guy that teams have flirted with the last couple of years.
Right.
Washington looking for their new direction. Is that a fit with Daniel Snyder?
No, I think he needs somebody. I don't. It's bigger than that in terms of with the Redskins. It's not just coach.
Well, going through the front, yeah, it's certainly
executives,
the front office.
His front office is a lot. There's a lot in there. You know, it's I compare it to, you know, when we bought a house a couple of years ago. You know, our neighborhood had said, "Hey, it's time. You have to." Repipe the house, you know,
okay.
Go through all that stuff. And so I think the Redskins, right, it's a NFL franchise. But yeah, there's a lot of things in the building that need to be straightened out. Because unless you bring somebody, unless, like the rumor was earlier, he wanted to trade for Tomlin.
Right,
unless you
right.
Get somebody
that was a few weeks
yeah,
ago.
Unless you get somebody like that who's so stoic, who knows how to handle anything, who's so resilient like him, it's not like they're walking into a turnkey place. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed first.
Fix the guts and then work from there.
Yeah.
Cool. At Will Blackman on Twitter, at NFL Wine Guy. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Let's get back into the game.
Lady, what did you say?
Bengals and Browns.
Andy Dalton did exactly what we thought he would last week, leading them to a win. They get John Ross back. Remember John Ross? Yeah, he was the guy leading the NFL in receiving yards and blowing up opposing secondaries the first month of the season. He returns for your fantasy playoff hopes. Might have been cut based on his injury time. Take a look on the waiver wire here as he goes up against the Cleveland Browns. They also get David Njoku back in the mix for the stretch run. Cleveland, look, they had the big battle against Pittsburgh last week, and it was Duck Hodges taking care of business. They started slowly but finished the game, got it done. And week to week, I have no level of confidence as to what type of effort I'm getting for four quarters.
You just don't know. This could be a scary game. This could be another situation where, right, they lost a game they should have won.
It's Andy Dalton winning again, isn't it?
It's Andy Dalton winning again. It is.
I firmly believe that.
Just for that, I'm taking Baker out of my lineup.
I just think it's so tough, so enigmatic. And it's not often that we get to this point in a season, Will, where there's just a handful of teams that you just don't know. Right? You usually have, here we're projecting well towards the playoffs, or we're done. You got Cleveland that's kind of in no man's land. They've got a lot of dysfunction. The Odell Beckham Jr., hey, I've been playing hurt. A lot of guys play hurt. That's
everybody
just the way
plays
it goes.
Hurt.
Everybody's got something going on, especially by week 14.
This is no knock on Cam, but this is my issue. My thing is, like, he's like, I'm not 100%. I haven't been healthy. I'm like, bro, that's the game.
Well, you run the, and you're a quarterback that runs the ball 100 times a year. You're not helping matters.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You're going to be in pain. I get it, you know. But right, it's, I don't know what this does, letting us know, like, oh, hey, I'm going to have surgery in the offseason. All right.
Because earlier this week, it was a lot of the talk of, no, I didn't say I hate Cleveland. So, like, he'd been quiet for a while.
Yeah, I had surgery midseason. I didn't go there and talk about it. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just curious that now he's getting a bit chirpy as the season's coming towards an end here.
No, I wouldn't say he's getting chirpy. It's more so these guys are available more than one time a week to the press.
Right.
Usually it's like, we speak on Tuesday or whatever. We speak on Wednesday is the day I think it is. And then after that, you don't hear from the players ever again.
Shouldn't. I mean, Cleveland just seems to, they let anything go in the locker room. Yeah, the Bengals are winning this game on the road. Next!
Lady, what is that?
Chargers at Jaguars.
Gardner Minshew. Yes, Minshew Mania returns as the Jaguars host the Chargers on the medal stand for one of the most disappointing teams going in the National
Both
Football
teams.
League. Sure.
You didn't expect much from Jacksonville?
I figured they could be a 500 team. Maybe a little bit better if things broke right. But that's the AFC South. Right? Is thought Houston was the best team, and then
it's always wide open
out
in that division.
Right?
Usually the Colts would dominate, you know, when Luck was there, but man.
Yeah, his retirement, still thought the Colts would be more efficient than they've been. So that question. Remember when we were talking about free agent quarterbacks, is Andrew Luck a free agent, or does he like being home with his newborn? We'll see that in the offseason as well, right? So you've got that rolling out there. But for the Chargers, I mean, Mike Williams on pace to go over 1,000 yards. He's got zero touchdowns. Keenan Allen, we talked about it a bunch. You've very rarely seen the painted grass since week 3. You finally seemingly had gotten your offense together, at least with Melvin Gordon after the holdout. And with Austin Eckler, who is a guy that just should see the ball more. We talk about Tariq Cohen in Chicago.
You're
Austin
right.
Eckler is just electric with the football, and we see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just don't throw red zone jump balls to him and think he's going to come down with it.
Especially where you're coming from an odd arm angle.
Yeah, wheel route, yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's certainly that. But they lose in dramatic fashion. You could write a book on the number of excruciating losses that they've had. But the Jaguars, Leonard Fournette, DJ Chark, who had a down week last week, just the two catches for 47 yards.
I think Derwin James had his warm-up game. He comes through today.
Stop the run, come up, plug up Leonard Fournette, see if Gardner can make anything happen.
He just takes over. Let's go Chargers on the road.
You're going to take them on. We've got a lot of road games. I'm going to take the home team here. I'm going to think Minshew Mania, while it's not as white hot as it was once upon a time, that he gets them the win. Because, look, if it's going to go down badly for the Chargers, let's just have it all finish off. Next.
Lady, what is that?
Redskins at Packers.
All right, we mentioned the Redskins a little bit earlier. Dwayne Haskins, under center Darius Geis, finally healthy. A guy you and I have been curious to watch him run, and he's finally found his legs and putting up some big numbers for them. For Green Bay, defense not what it was early in the season, that's for sure. But finally, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, they get their connection reestablished. They're nearly two touchdown favorites at home. We're talking minus 13, over-under of 42. They win the game. Just a question of how many style points, Will.
Oh.
Is this just a beatdown of the Redskins, or can they hang?
Yeah, I think the Redskins do because, they made the necessary turnovers they needed to win the game. But if they can, I feel like Green Bay figures out and does stop the run because they have to. They had damn near 300 yards running last week. What guys and Peach had 99 yards. He just needed one more to get 100. I just don't see them coming together on the road, getting it done in Green Bay.
Yeah, that is a tough proposition. But to your point about running the football, the Packers have allowed the eighth most rushing yards to opposing runners, 4.7 yards per carry and 13 touchdowns. So if you can establish that, at least hang around a little while and make them sweat. For Aaron Rodgers, we've hit a point in the season a couple of weeks ago where you had to start raising an eyebrow if we're going to talk age and drop-offs, right? Matt Ryan's name got thrown in there.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, been in the league since 2005. You can tell me, hey, he didn't play those first couple years. That's fine. Father Time still takes those years off your body. So, makes play, but not in the same physical way. But the fact that he is...
Because Brett literally never missed a game.
Well, Brett was a different animal.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, that's a guy that I watch studies on in terms of what he played with and how he was able to go each and every week. I mean, there's just a whole other thing going on him. I mean, the only knock on his career was, if you're going to retire, just retire already. Other than that, it was just play football. Packers win this game going away, I believe. We got one more game. It might be the marquee game on the slate.
Might be.
Well, you know. For some, it's Patriots.
No, it's not.
Chiefs.
No, it's not.
Well, people want to exterminate Tom Brady.
Yeah, but that's not. Trust me. This is it.
This is the game of the week, and we'll break it all down next here on Fox Football Sunday as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Come on back with us as we finish the breakdown of Week 14 in your National Football League. He's Will Blackman. I'm Mike Harmon, and this is Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome back in. Fox Football Sunday. One more game to go on the Week 14 slate. Fantasy advice starts rolling up in 10 minutes. Get your questions in at Swollen Dome.
Sorry.
Will's getting his sing on this morning. That's okay. You want to hit the next one? Good.
No, I'm good.
All right. We'll have a sing-along later, maybe?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
I'm going home.
I guess I'll just sit in the studio and sing to myself, as I've done before. At Will Blackman, at NFL Wine Guy on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Yeah, we got one game left, and oh, it's a doozy.
Lady, what did you say?
Ravens and Bills.
Now we're talking the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia out in full effect. And some fun to be had with this one. The Ravens, a 6.5-point favorite on the road. 9-3 Buffalo.
You said it's going to be 6.5 passing yards this game. Is that what you said?
That could be the case. That definitely could be what we're looking at here. Look, last week, not a pretty game stylistically for the Baltimore Ravens, but... as John Calipari taught us in college basketball, succeed and proceed. And when you've got a guy like Justin Tucker that you can bring in to hammer home a 49-yard field goal for the win, you get your victory and you move on, as they did against the San Francisco 49ers. Here, Buffalo defense, one of your top-rated units in the game. Josh Allen playing very good, efficient, mistake-free football of late. No injuries really of note on either side in terms of missing action. For the Ravens, you'll have Marquise Brown back, so the big play threat. As much as you need one for the Ravens, because let's face it, you've got the 200 yards plus of ground game, including 80 yards a game coming from the legs of Lamar Jackson. You've got the triple tight end set, which is always just fun to watch. Andrews leading the charge there. If you're Buffalo, how do you scheme to slow down Lamar Jackson?
Well, fortunately, you don't have the same type of quarterback, but you have a quarterback who is running. Now, they're built toughness. I think basically what Baltimore has been doing all year, they have been just abusing opposing teams. I think these players are so used to spread offenses, finesse type of offenses, where it's more so scheme and strategy. So therefore, they just loading up with multiple tight ends, multiple offensive linemen, and just run the football down your throat. I feel like when it comes down to toughness and sure aggression, this is the type of team Baltimore is. They are built for this. You think last week against the Niners, oh, well, they're a tough physical team. I was like, yeah, but if you're going to sit back and drop back and throw the football, yeah, the Niners will get after it. In terms of running the football, I think they were 17 in terms of stopping the run around that area.
Yeah, you were talking about 4.7 yards per carry. We discussed that a little bit on the show last week coming into the game. for Buffalo offensively, talk about Josh Allen. From a receiving perspective, John Brown's your leader, 61 catches, almost 900 yards, 5 scores. Cole Beasley has been just a fantastic addition for them, finding gaps over the middle, I mean, much like he did in Dallas.
Right.
And being very consistent. As Josh Allen's on the move, he's always looking back and finding spaces in the zone over the middle of the field. So those are your two guys. You got your speed guy, but John Brown's certainly developed far beyond what he was used as in Arizona. He was just the burner. It's like, just go run deep.
Right.
And realized, hey, this guy's got increased skill
set. They did their homework. You know, they figured that out.
He had his 1 year in Baltimore as well.
Right.
Before joining the Bills. So, in this one, I think the Ravens win this one, and I think it's just a Justin Tucker field goal. I think this is a tough-fought, low-scoring game.
I don't know, man.
Think Baltimore's going to go in and just punish them again?
I feel like Baltimore will get it done. It'll be a low-scoring game. By the way, there is a video circling with the Texans. Have you seen that?
I had seen it. I was trying to get the team name because, look, it's Sunday morning. Some of the team names that you run across from the Dodgeball movie. Because remember last week, the way they dressed against the Patriots?
Yes.
I don't know what the team name was. I was trying to find that data point. But let's just say, you know, when there was the uniform mix-up in Dodgeball.
This is the Average Joes.
Yeah, so today the linebackers are the Average Joes. I think last week they were closer to what these when there was the uniform mix-up with Daddy and his folks with a lot of leather and chains.
Yes.
So, yes. I like that you've got the camaraderie, right? That team building.
But that's all it is. That is all it is. I spoke to a colleague. I think it was Brady Quinn. We were talking. He was saying, like, oh, you know, they might get beat down for this. Or I forget how the competition went. But it wasn't good for Houston. I'm like, this is team camaraderie. It doesn't matter what you do. Our coach will always say, when we're playing on the field, if we play the wrong defense that's called, if everyone's playing the wrong defense, we're good.
As
long as we're together.
Right? I mean, you talked about getting on board with your teammates during your 12 years in the league of just kind of discussing, hey, we all need to be on the same page. Right? So we're covering each other. Here's your assignment. Let's go through it again. And this is just more an extension of that from where I sit. I mean, look, it's all often said, it's the ultimate team game.
You have to. It's monotonous. You're with each other more than you are with your own families.
So if each positional unit has something, I mean, we see it in baseball all the time, right? You got to wear the goofy road things. Right. And if you're in Chicago, you get sent across the street to Starbucks to get your thing while wearing whatever, a donkey uniform. It's all good. At Will Blackman is where you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Thanks for hanging out on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.